This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust this program will be an encouragement to you. For those of you who would like to contact me, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and website address down at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and of course you can contact me through the website, or you can contact me by regular mail. If you would like a copy of this program on a CD, just let me know. If you have prayer requests, let me know. If you would like to be placed on the subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, also let me know. You'll have to send me your address so that I can send it on to them. The subscription is free, but you'll have to let me know if you want to be on that subscription list. Now, I'm recording a few days before Valentine's Day, but this program will be heard on Valentine's Day, and since that's sort of an important day in the life of many people, I'm going to break away this morning from our messages on Acts 5 and Acts 6 for a message having to do with love, the greatest love that there is, the love of the Lord for us. We know that we love Him because He first loved us, and on Valentine's Day, there would be nothing better for us than to, first of all, make sure that we love our Savior. We need to make sure that there's been a time in our life when we recognize that as sinners, we couldn't save ourselves, but that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then the Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. The greatest love in the world is, according to the Lord Himself, when a man lays down his life for his friends. And the Lord did that for us. And so, on this Valentine's Day, I hope we think about our relationship with the Lord, first of all. And, first of all, His love for us. And then we need to ask about our response to Him. And I believe that if we have that relationship right, then we'll have our relationships one with another right. In 1 John, we read that we have fellowship one with another, but truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So even in the matter of fellowship, we have to have our vertical relationship right in order to have our horizontal relationship right. And so it is with our relationship with our spouses. And we know that in Ephesians we're told that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so this sacrificial love that the Lord has shown for us is the sacrificial love that a husband should show for his bride. And it is the sacrificial love that those who are thinking about marrying should be willing to, at least the prospective bridegroom should be willing to show his bride, and she should be willing to respond to it. So on this Valentine's Day, we need to think, first of all, about our relationship with the Lord, and we need to be aware that He has loved us even when we didn't love Him. But in order to enjoy that love, we have to respond to it. We have to trust Him. We have to love Him because of His love for us. And then that will make it easier for us to love one another. Again, the commandment in the Bible that is repeated over and over again is that, first of all, we are to love the Lord our God, and secondly, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, there's many beautiful love stories in the Bible. One of the nicest ones, in my mind, is found in Genesis chapter 24, where Abraham sends an unnamed servant to find a bride for his son, his unique son, Isaac, the one who was born after, from a natural standpoint, Abraham should have been able to have a son. And so this unnamed servant goes back to the area that Abraham once lived in, to Abraham's relatives, and he finds the gal by the name of Sarah. And Sarah, just listening to the servant describe Isaac, is willing to go with Isaac probably the distance of about 500 miles, if I have it right, in order to be a part of a new family, to be the bride of a man she's been told about. And our relationship with the Lord is much like that. We have not, in our dispensation, seen the Lord with our physical eyes, but the unnamed servant, that is, the Holy Spirit, has told us about Him. He has made it clear that He's the only son of His Father, that he is an heir of his Father, and if we are a part of his family, if we become a part of his bride, then we will be joint heirs with him. We will be rich spiritually, not necessarily rich physically, but we will be rich spiritually. And even though from a natural standpoint the Lord might not be somebody that we would normally consider to be a very handsome man like some movie actors or some models, Isaiah says that when we shall see him, there is no beauty or regal beauty that we should desire him. We know that his visage was more marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Yet because of those scars and what we've been told about him by the Holy Spirit to us, he has become beautiful. And to those of us who believe, he is precious. And so today, there is a love story prefigured by this love story in the Old Testament, Sarah being a picture of the church, the bride, of those who are listening to the Holy Spirit tell them about the blessings a man can bring them, and we've got to travel to a far country in order to meet a man we've never seen, whom, having not seen, we love, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I like the ending verse of Genesis chapter 24. Verse 67 goes like this: Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah. And I've been saying that it was Sarah that had been found in that far country, but I made a mistake. It's Rebekah. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so it was Rebekah that came from the far country, not Sarah, but Rebekah that came from that far country to be Isaac's wife. And what I like in this story is, and he loved her. She was the one that the Lord had intended for him. She was the one that the Holy Spirit had brought to him, and he loved her, and the Lord loves his bride in the same way. Now, of course, our love story is told to us in the New Testament as well, isn't it? And we often hear that verse in John chapter 3 where we read, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I've often said that if we had nothing more than John 3:16, we would know how to get to heaven. We would know about the greatest love that this world has ever experienced. We would know about God. I know that many people look at God as an austere God, and I have to admit that when we read the Old Testament, he comes across very austere and very judgmental, even though he always showed mercy to those who really trusted him. But the emphasis is upon the judgment of sin and upon the judgment of unbelievers. In the New Testament, the emphasis is upon his love for those that he died for, but his justice is still there. And so when we look at John 3:16, while we can see that there is a possibility of perishing, and we do see the fact that there is a God of that God is a God of justice, and that he will judge sin, yet we see a God of love. And I've often marveled at the way in which God showed that love by taking that which was most precious to him, a unique son, his only begotten son, and allowing him to bear punishment that we deserved. And so we who are saved have accepted that and have allowed Christ to be our sinless substitute, and we are then seen in Christ instead of being seen in our sins, and our destiny is the Father's house rather than that place called hell and the lake of fire. And so we're just thankful today for the God of love as seen in John 3:16. And we see that God of love is also a God who purposed this from an eternity past. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The purpose of God was to save the world, not to condemn the world. He had made us, and surely when we make something, we usually find it precious to our hearts. I don't care what it is that we design and make, we find it precious, and the Lord has found us precious, even though ever since Eve disobeyed in the Garden of Eden and partook of forbidden fruit, man has rebelled against God and has been self-willed, and we are all rebellious and self-willed, and in that rebellion and self-will we turn away from God, but nevertheless God still loves us, and he has proven that by sending his Son to the cross of Calvary for us. Now, as we think of this great love, we know that some people, likely, on Valentine's Day, will be getting engaged. And in any relationship, somebody has to go out on a limb and say, I love you. And that's a very risky thing. It's pretty easy for us to be rejected. We might have misread the other person's desires and intentions toward us. And so when somebody says, I love you, they're going to wait for a response. And if the response is just pure silence, that's not going to be very encouraging. Or if the response is, well, I just want to be friends, that's not going to be very encouraging. The response that the person wants when they say, I love you, is, I love you too. And so it is with the Lord. I've often thought about how he's the one who has gone out on the limb, so to speak. He has taken the risk, and he has told us that he loved us, and he has proven it by the sending of his Son. And now he's waiting for a response from us. And the Bible says that it's a broad and crowded way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, and it's a straight and narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And so I'm suspecting that from the standpoint of people that are alive on the earth today, that many have grown silent when they've heard about the love of the Lord. Sometimes we as Christians don't represent the Lord very well, and people who are told about what they understand to be Christianity see it as simply a book of rules, and they see it as a political system, and they see it as a burden, they see it as religion. But what I'm telling you about is a relationship that brings salvation, and it's not a burden, a relationship that brings a burden. It's a relationship that bears a burden. Christ bore the cross that we deserved. He's the one who has borne our sins in his own body on the tree, and he has taken the burden of sin away. And the relationship now is the relationship of love, not the relationship of a legalistic burden. And so as we live for Christ, we do that out of devotion. We don't do that because of the rules that some people have laid down and have said, if you keep these rules, then you're righteous. We as Christians certainly do not want to sin, but we do it from a devotional standpoint because we want to, not because we have to. And so today the Lord is waiting for a response. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And my friend, have you accepted the fact that he died for you? This Valentine's Day, have you said, I love you too? Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all that has been of thyself, and we trust that this program will be a blessing to our listeners. Remember any needs that are present in our audience. We just commend ourselves into thy care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.